everybody. Welcome back to the Breaking Barriers Now podcast. I am your host, Jody Watkins. And today I have an amazing guest on here that I met a while back, kind of, a few months ago, right?
End of April at the Showtime.
It's been a couple of months, few months. But anyway, his name is Jacob and he's down in South Florida and he is also a bodybuilding coach, but his story is what really sparked my interest. And that's why I asked him to come on the show. Before we get into that, I want to make sure I give a shout out to our sponsors. Our first sponsor is Convene Communities, where we have real people, real purpose, and we're just looking for great people to come and come alongside of us and help us build this out. So Convene, thank you very much for being one of our sponsors. You will find the podcast and everything else, Jody, on there too. And then our other sponsor is First Approved Financial, Denise Armstrong. She's been not only my personal coach with financial information, but also she's helping tons of business owners thrive. And we're also doing some things with real estate investing. So thank you to my sponsors. If you're out there, if you're a business owner and you'd like to learn how to become a sponsor for the show, please reach out to me and we will definitely have that conversation. So Jacob, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for taking the time out. I really appreciate it. And I had a couple conversations along the way. We've seen each other a couple of times since we met. It's always interesting to listen to you and listen to what you're going through. Cause I talk about a lot. I say this all the time where we only see what we see, right? You see the person, but you don't see what the person's dealing with. You don't see, you know, the internal say, I always say like the physical scars you can see, but you can't see the inside, right? So when you started opening up to me on some of the things that you deal with, I was like, oh my gosh, people need to hear this. So like I said, thank you for coming on. I want to just open it up and let you kind of take it from here and just tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, what your upbringing was, and, you know, some of the barriers that you've had to break along the way.
Yeah. So definitely a few barriers for sure. So my upbringing, was, and I mean, still is, rocky, but, you know, I grew up in small household. Father was an alcoholic, still is. So just trying to work through stuff like that. So, I mean, we all have our family issues, but, this one's been going on for quite a while. I personally moved away, from my entire family, essentially went from Wisconsin and moved all the way down to Florida. Mm. Right. So I'm originally from the frozen tundra.
That's, I can tell your accent.
Everybody says that. They're like, say bag.
Yeah. That's, I knew that when I first met you. I was like, he's from up north somewhere.
So
what made you Wisconsin. Come to Florida? Like, I mean, why Florida?
So a number of things. So for me, again, it was, just, you know, it's the whole thought process of, you know, if you really want to move, if you really want to do something and you want to potentially get away from toxicity and negativity and all these different things, then it's important that you actually act upon that. And for me, that was part of it. And I knew, like, living back home, you get a lot of people who have literally grown up, went to school and stayed in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
Maybe moved like 2 hours or something away from that, but they knew that, like, I really want to move to Texas. I really want to move to Florida. I really want to go live in Europe or something like that, but they don't act upon it because they're scared. Mm-hmm. Right? Or they're worried about what other people would think. And, you know, that was definitely the case for, like, me and my wife. Is, you know, a lot of people were like, go for it. And then it's funny because mostly family was like, it's not good.
Family. Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest, I can't remember what the phrase is, but like a lot of times the people who will support you the most is not your family.
Your stranger, the strangers that come into your life later. I say that all the time. I'm like,
exactly.
It's amazing because, you know, if you think about your journey and the people who you surround yourself with now, right? Like the people I know in my life now are definitely not the people who were in my life 10 years ago, not even 5 years ago, right?
Like, yeah.
it's interesting how that works.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you know, coming up, like I got bullied a lot, and it's funny because like as I went to college in River Falls, Wisconsin, I was bouncing at the time, and a lot of the people who bullied me, like, and I'll get to my epilepsy in a little bit, but like there was times when I got called like an epileptic faggot. I had people just like verbally abusing me, physically, basically like they TP'd my house or my like trees in my yard, and then they took a bunch of like shredded toilet paper, and we had like this big field, and I was literally on my hands and knees, had blood and whatnot, picking it all up, and I went into the principal's office, and I'm like, and the entire football team got in trouble. So I'm like, but wow. You know, I got bullied a lot and everything like that. So a lot of that definitely stuck with me.
Was that like your middle school, high school? Like what kind of age were you at that point?
All through.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a awkward kid growing up. Like
I was too. I mean, I think a lot of kids are, we're just trying to figure out life. Right? Like, and then if you got home stuff, like I had home stuff too. So I had, you know, my mom was an alcoholic. I grew up with that too. And then she remarried. He was a paranoid schizophrenic on drugs. Right. Like, so when you got home stuff, you become a little bit, I think, I don't know if this is your case too, but I became very enclosed. Like I kind of just closed off. Right. So then people just think you're weird. I'm not. Weird.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's like people don't understand like all the internal, you know, shit that you might be dealing with.
Exactly.
And like me growing up, I had a lot, and it isn't until recently that I've like started to speak up about it, because I knew there was going to be a day, but you know, it's coming very soon. But you know, for me, it was just my upbringing was very toxic, so. You know, that's a lot of it is what led to just wanting to get away from that toxicity and the anxiety, because there's been times I go back, you know, just to visit family and whatnot. And I get anxiety, like just even think, cause I'm somebody who's very on edge all the time. And part of that of course is just, you know, growing up with what I was dealing with. But also I have a PTSD from the military. So I'm paranoid as right. So I'm always looking. I'm always looking for like the closest route. I sleep closest to the door everywhere I go. But also it's looking at like business opportunities. So for me personally, like yes, it was getting away from the toxicity so I could grow as a person, but also from a business perspective, like the opportunities that I've been afforded here are phenomenal, right? Like I've got to work with some of the biggest people in the industry, like Terrence Ruffin, Kai Green, in regards to like training and whatnot. I've got to work out with like Jared Feather. He's with Renaissance Periodization. Mm-hmm. So just very smart people and learning and stuff like that. And, you know, I would have never gotten to, you know, have brunch with Terrence the morning after I think it was the 21 Olympia, with my buddy. That I working with, of course, but you know, like the opportunity afforded since I moved here have just been, you know, tenfold, like so many different things that I've been allowed to do, but that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have moved, because you know, if you know, like, okay, this is a hotspot for what you're doing. You know, we know Florida is a big bodybuilding hotspot. So it's like New York, Texas, Cali, you know, all these different places.
Right.
But it's like, if you're not you know, at the end of the day, it's like, it's not about what you know that plays a part, but it's about who you know. You know, because I moved down here, I'm able to know a lot more people. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So that
plus... I was going to let you know your internet connection, I think, is a little unstable. So we're kind of cutting in and out, but hopefully people are able to get the gist of that's all right. It happens. That's a wonderful thing about technology. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not. But just to kind of recap, so I wanted to just let people, any of the listeners know out there, like Jacob is in bodybuilding. And some of the names that he listed out, those are some of the big players in bodybuilding. So I know a lot of our listeners aren't versed in that area. So I just wanted to make sure to point that out real quick. But I wanted to kind of harp, you know, because you and I both have been in the military. So did you go into the military before you moved to Florida or after?
Yeah. Yeah.
Before.
Okay. Yeah. I closed a few tabs, so
okay. That's probably no worries.
I don't have the best internet, but it's good.
That's why I have an office, because my internet at home is not stable at all.
Yeah, I work from home, so
yeah.
But yeah, so of course, when I started in the military, I had actually joined on my 17th birthday. Mm. So this was in 2014, okay. Of course, from junior to senior year, went to basic training, did my senior year. And then after I graduated, I went to advanced individual training, or AIT.
Right.
For me, I was infantry. So, you know, bang.
Cause you were Army, right?
Yeah. I was Army National Guard. So, you know, what most would call a weekend warrior.
Yeah. What made you make that decision? Cause you said you got bullied in high school and stuff like that. Was it kind of was it to get away, or was there multiple
reasons into that? I mean, one of the biggest things, like, and this has come from multiple other avenues, but like, I've always felt like I was meant for something, you know, like helping people out and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, of course the college benefits are nice.
Right.
You know, I'm completely debt free from that. There was actually moments where I actually got paid to go to college.
Yeah.
Which I'm not complaining with.
Right.
But like, you know, just a history of family and whatnot who served in the military. My dad served in the military.
Okay.
One of my mom's relatives, her great grandpa, served in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War as a medic.
Okay.
Died in the early 90s, but it's like, you know, I have this vast history of family members in the military. So I was like, okay, well, let me try this out. Mm-hmm.
How long did that last?
So I actually got medically discharged because of my epilepsy.
Okay. I was going to ask about that.
That's a whole other...
about that going in, right? Like because we haven't really gone into that yet. So let's backtrack a little bit. So what did that look like? Just for anybody out there that's kind of maybe in the same or similar situation as you, just whatever you'd like to share there.
In regards to getting...
As far as like, did you know that you had it before you went in?
So yeah, and this is where it gets like very, I don't want to say touchy, but it's like what went wrong, like it's like all the little things fell into place and I'm just like, crap. But basically when I was 7 years old, I hit my, the back of my head on a door hinge, right? Had like a 1.5-inch gash. And I was later diagnosed with absence seizures, or basically it's essentially daydreaming on steroids.
Right.
You know, I would have anywhere from like 10 to 100 a day, lasting anywhere from like 10 to 15 seconds. It's literally like somebody pressed pause, you look off here, and then they press play and you literally, it's like a lapse in time.
I've seen that before. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember one time my brother had like slapped me like this, didn't feel a thing. And then I, you know, press play and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, wow.
And that's when my mom was like, yeah, we're bringing you in. So I missed a lot of information and whatnot in school growing up. And you know, I was in and out of, you know, doctor's office, neurology, stuff like that, getting blood taken. So getting blood taken for me, giving blood is nothing now. Literally growing up, it's like,
yep.
So, so I was diagnosed with that. And then I think it was in like 2011, mm-hmm. or 2010, I was completely like, they're like, okay, you don't have it anymore. However, there's the potential that you could have epilepsy in the future. or grand mal seizures, which is what I suffer with now. And, you know, I told this, you know, the exact same thing that I'm going to tell you. We all have a initial meeting that we have before we go to MEPS.
Yes.
Everybody has it, no matter what.
Yes.
Because that's where it's like, okay, well, I have this. Okay, we got to get a waiver for you. Well, my recruiter at the time, who, like, once everything came to fruition, was a first sergeant, so didn't even get a, you know, whatever, said that that meeting didn't happen. And I'm like, it did. My mom was in the room and signed off on it. So, but basically, he's like, oh, just don't say anything when you get to MEPS. So, you know, me listening, you know, but basically I was just another number, essentially.
Yeah.
So I will forever hold a grudge against him. Hopefully I never meet him again. but essentially, so I got out in 2017. But this was actually right around the time, 2016, I had my first seizure, right? And it was shortly after I competed in 2016 in May. Mm-hmm. I had it roughly like 10 days after, because I was actually going to my first AT, annual training. And it's weird because, and, you know, luckily it was 15 minutes before we were supposed to leave and I was the driver. So everybody sees me seizing up in the front of the Humvee, you know, we're at the range and whatnot. And, they see me seizing up. I was essentially binge eating for multiple days on end. Didn't have correct reverse diet, everything. And yeah, of course, my situation. Yeah, my situation is very specific, but that's why it's so important. Like, after you're done competing, that you follow your reverse diet.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why. Because I had these seizures, of course, in between as well, based off medication and whatnot, because of the mass electrolyte fluctuation and essentially the chemicals within my brain, the chemicals within my brain essentially just said, screw you, and snapped. And where the issue comes, I was in the back of the military ambulance and they told me, or they asked me, have you ever had a history of seizures? Me, like, damn near completely, like, incapacitated, like, out of it. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, yeah. And then everything just goes downhill.
Right.
So they essentially had put in to try and get a fraudulent enlistment, which, if you know, that is punishable by UCMJ law, and you will go to prison. But I fought it, and essentially, you know, 2017, so about a year later, May 17th of 2017, I still remember the date, they finally gave me my release papers, and I got a general discharge, didn't get any medical, nothing. Right now, I have 10% disability because of my hearing and tinnitus.
Yeah.
That's it. But, you know, like, there's a lot of other stuff that's wrong with me in regards to, like, just physical, like,
right,
spinal issues and whatnot, that I've tried to get more disability for, but it's not service really connected. So, and I just kind of gave up on that. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and spend 3 years to try and get disability. But the instance
there,
you,
we'll get you there.
fingers crossed. I
have a quick question. I'm gonna stop you for a second because I do have a quick question. Because so you got into bodybuilding while you were in the military. So what,
yes,
what made you do that?
A lot of it stems from, like, when I first started, like, working out. Because originally, I think it was like 7th or 8th grade, one of my best friends, she had called me fat. So I'm like, okay. You know, and I had always, like, as a kid, like, I would grab, like, the cans of, like, green beans or whatever and just try and do, like, whatever. I actually have a childhood picture of me hitting a front double bicep in my childhood home. I'm like, it all started here.
It's funny how people unintentionally motivate you to do some great things eventually.
Like, yeah, I mean,
and you just want to thank them later. Like, hey, for that person that tried to hurt me, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a falling out since then. We've only reconnected just recently and talked like once. But her calling me fat, essentially, I was like, okay, well, I was in track and whatnot for a few years, just kind of whatever. Mm. And then I'm like, got out of it. And then I joined wrestling. And that kind of, I did that all the way through high school, through my senior year. But I would always watch like motivational videos, and I would watch like Kai Greene and, you know, nice. Day in the okay. Life and all these things. And it's like the second, like he walked into the hotel room, I'm like,
oh my God. Yeah.
then I got to work with him. But that's like, awesome. I was always motivated by bodybuilders and whatnot. Okay. And, you know, of course, Arnold, like Phil, you know, all yeah. these people that I okay. saw growing up. And so I'm like, okay, my senior year, well, my first coach, Brian, I actually I graduated with his sister. So she got me in contact with him. And then basically from there, 2016, 2018, we worked together. You know, I had moved, decided to go a different route, got with my previous coach. Now I actually just got with a recent one. But of course, just falling out, it happens.
Yeah, it does. It does. And business. There's so many different facets in it. And I'm doing the NASM, the bodybuilding and physique coach certification right now too. And it's interesting because I've been in bodybuilding now since 2015, and there was still a lot of stuff that I didn't even know, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so there's so many different little things. And I am grateful that I do have a medical background, because what you were saying with the brain imbalance, like the chemical imbalance, that's huge. That is huge. Oh, yeah. And I want people to hear what happened with you, because not everybody understands just how important that reverse diet is. And honestly, I didn't either. When I did my first show, I had no guidance after the fact. I had a nutrition background, but I'd never done bodybuilding, right? So I just went back to eating what I thought like I was supposed to be eating. And I gained 20 pounds and I was like, what is going on? Like, I wasn't and then eating.
And then you find yourself,
crazy,
you're just like,
crazy. Well, I wasn't overeating. I was still tracking my foods and stuff like that, but I didn't do it properly. So I went from like, and then that's a whole nother story in itself, but he took me to a level I shouldn't have gone. And I was going through lab tech school at that time. So I was taking my blood to make sure my levels were okay. And I would literally do things outside of what he was telling me to do because my levels wouldn't be okay. So he didn't like me too much for that. But I was like, at the end of the day, I have to be healthy. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like you know your body best, but you also have to make sure you connect with a coach, and it's not just, hey, here's a plan, check in with me once a week and screw off.
Right.
But kind of reverting back to like the bodybuilding, like he got me in, I did, you know, I've done 3 seasons, but right now with my coach currently, it's basically whenever he decides that it's best for me to compete again.
Yeah.
So going through a health phase, learning all these things, my coach is actually mentored by John Meadows. So if anybody knows who John Meadows is, of course, recently died a few years ago, but you know, definitely one of the brightest coaches who had been in the industry for a long time, but sadly had a heart disease from when he was born, had a heart attack, died a year later. But anybody who's in the fitness industry should know who he is.
Yeah.
But he was mentored by him.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, has my best interest in mind. And, you know, not only like the physical part of it, but really the mental part. And he's really challenging me. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, and that's something we can talk about, but it's like just dealing with the inner demons, because most people don't realize how much stress has an effect on like your gut, your ability to progress.
Everything. Yeah.
Yep. So now with bodybuilding kind of interconnected, going into like my seizures, talking about that reverse diet, you know, discussing that, like this most recent prep that I got out of in September, I actually took my reverse diet seriously. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a seizure, haven't had a seizure, right?
So that was because, the first time you had done it like you were supposed to do it?
Yeah.
Why not before? Since you had the seizure before, you just weren't ready.
Because I would binge eat.
Yeah.
And it, like, we knew, and I wrote a 20-page paper on this in college. Nice. I'm like,
you get that magazine.
Oh yeah. But like, you know, I had discovered a lot of it was, again, the electrolyte imbalance, my, essentially the neurons within my brain. And one of the things that I, you know, learned within the past year too, you're looking at like glutamatergic receptors and stuff like that. Well, most people don't know, and epileptics should really know this. You should not have glutamine as a epileptic because it is your main stimulatory neurotransmitter within your brain.
Right.
Versus GABA isn't, right? It's main inhibitory. But like, that's why MSGs, like, granted, yes, Chinese food tastes amazing.
Leave it alone.
Yeah. Essentially, when you look at stuff with MSGs, right, what's the last word? Glutamate.
Right.
So anything that has any sort of glutamine, glutamic acid, anything like that, like as an epileptic, you want to stay away from. And of course, it's knowing like your limits with photosensitivity, stress, caffeine, stuff like that. Luckily, I don't have any issue with caffeine. Doesn't mean that I need to cut it, but yeah, I mean, essentially the big thing is that like learning that type of stuff and understanding my body and learning that like when you don't piss your body off, 9 times out of 10, it'll work with you. And
that we could mic drop on that one, because that's what people don't understand. It's like our bodies are machines. But if we don't fuel them properly, if we're not giving them what they need, if we're not giving them the right vitamins and minerals and all the other stuff that people aren't paying attention to, that's why we're falling apart. That's why people are ended up in the hospitals. That's why, you know, and that's the part that people don't see. It's like, hey, if we got to realize our bodies are machines, but they have to be fine tuned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, well, not only the maintenance of it, but it's like, you take somebody who is, I mean, you take a machine that's overworked, but it's not well lubricated, right? So if you don't take care, if it's being pushed to its limits, but you're taking care of it, it'll work with you.
Exactly.
But if you don't, that machine's going to break,
exactly.
Right? And that's what was happening with me. And, you know, essentially my weight would shoot up. Massive electrolyte imbalance, and just my body was like bloated all the time. So, you know, my weight shot up, my body wasn't like my levels. And of course, with my first seizure, like it's a little different, but still my body was large fluctuations. But of course, having the seizures as a kid, kind of that was a catalyst, and it just flipped.
Right.
But like if I weren't taking my medication, and I've gone through 3 different types. One caused massive brain fog, one made me super tired, and the one that I'm on now, it's been working, so I'm not gonna mess with it.
Okay.
But yeah, it you know, just learning what my body had to say and understanding it and then working with it to find out the specific needs and wants that my body needed helped me out significantly. And literally, like I had my electroencephalogram or EEG the Tuesday after I competed. So I competed on Saturday and had it on Tuesday. Well, now listening to what I've had to say, your body's super sensitive the few days afterwards,
right?
So because I was doing everything and essentially with the EEG, they put a bunch of electrodes and monitor your brain activity while doing a bunch of like beats for photosensitivity. Mm-hmm. And then they speed up to where it's just like, it's going this fast, right? And I didn't have a seizure. And I was like, sweet. Right. But yeah, essentially from there, you know, just learning to deal with it and, you know, understanding. Like for me, a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm sorry that you have to deal with that. I'm like, I'm not, you know, if it happens, it happens. Don't get me wrong, like I'm scared every day. You know, because I know the repercussions of it. And most people who have never had epilepsy won't understand how it feels to wake up from a seizure, because it feels literally like your world is going to end.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're so out of it. You're tongue probably hurts, puked, and all this this other stuff. And you just wake up and it's like trying to like get your bearings for like literally 20 minutes, 30 minutes straight. And then you take somebody who's 250 pounds, it's literally like four workouts, and you went 15 rounds with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Right. Like the body is just so sore and your brain is just so out of it that like, I'll use this as an example. In 2018, after I competed, I had two seizures in one day. Sadly, it was the same weekend that I had proposed to my wife. Right.
Wow.
And yeah. Yeah. So we were on our way home. We spent the weekend up in Superior, of course, in Wisconsin, well, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But we spent the weekend up there. I propose we came back and I had one on the way back. And then I had one at home. And I had to jump out of college for a semester and a half because I could talk, but I couldn't phrase conversations. Mm. So I literally had to go sentence by sentence. And if you've ever seen the meme with the lady going like this and all the different calculations and whatnot, most people have probably seen it. That was me, but with trying to talk, right?
Wow.
So, you know, since then that's caused issues with like memory, verbal recall, of course. So I'll spill my words a lot. And then overall focus. Plus it doesn't help that I also have ADD too. So
I think most of us have it to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally like
that with me too.
Yeah. One, it's literally like, I'll be sitting here and it's like squirrel.
Yep.
And then right back.
Well, it's funny. And I know that we're completely speaking of squirrel. We're going to go off on the squirrel real quick, but, but it's funny because I tell people, I'm like, when you see me, like, you know, how I'm focusing on this, it's because I've learned to practice intentionally listening. And I know that my passion is listening to someone else's story, and I'm very interested in people. And so I've had to learn that means I literally have to close off everything else. So phone goes off, do not disturb. Everything on my computer is do not disturb, right? Because once that happens, I'm like, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's a lot of society too, like right now. Yeah. It's just like, it's that dopamine rush.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that, I mean, that's something, because I'll literally be sitting here and I'm just like doom scrolling. Yep. And it's hard because with somebody with ADD and just like, you know, having the traumatic brain injury, this is long before all the function or like the concussion stuff, mm-hmm. the rehabilitation. So of course I'm like, you know, 5-6 years later and they finally come out with this stuff and I'm like, hey, great.
Really? Thanks.
Right. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I've dealt with it. I've learned from it. Do I deal with it? Yeah. Does it suck? Yes. Because I literally have to live every day of my life in fear that I might crash my car or do something, you know. And there was actually a time when I had actually crashed my car into a snowbank and missed a pole by about a foot. Mm. I have pictures of it. So,
wow.
But yeah.
Well, I will say just from the 2 times that we've talked before now, there was something in you that I definitely have a lot of respect for, and you're young too, and you know, because and I can
26.
Say that because I was gonna say I could be your mom, so I can say that I would be a young mom, but I could still be your mom. But
yeah,
so when I meet someone like you who I know is younger and who you know, you articulated your story in a way that I mean, it captured me quickly. And so I think I told you I have a really good friend who also is epileptic. And so I hear her side of it. And no, I haven't ever lived that. But when I hear someone who does go through those things, right? Like, yeah, I haven't lived through that, but I've had my own struggles, right? And so we just have to learn that these things don't have to take us down, right? And so like you said, when someone's like, I'm sorry, you have to deal with that. Well, don't be sorry for me, because all of these things are what make me who I am, right? Like you're tough. I see you all the time. You're rooting for people. You're, their main supporter, and then you're on your own journey. And I think when we become that person for other people, and then they get to know us and they get to see like, oh, well, you have this going on, you have this going on, but you're still here for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's crazy is kind of a lead off on that. And like one thing that I'm battling with is like, you know, as you said, we're kind of there to, you know, help others and lead others, but it's like in my brain, and, you know, I've talked about this with a lot of people recently, and like, I'm just coming to terms with a lot of stuff, but it's like, with me, and this kind of gets into the like the mental aspect of it, and you know, a lot of people don't understand the effects of like childhood trauma and all this stuff. And you know, like for me, I love helping people. Like today I was supposed to work out, but like somebody had talked to me and we ended up talking for like 30 minutes, and you know, I motivated them to go for their certification because they wanted to start helping people and they have the personality for it and the need and want to listen to people and help them. You know, they had an autoimmune, or they have an autoimmune disease and they want to be able to help people who are in a similar position. But it's like, we give all this effort, but then it's kind of like we feel left and abandoned. It's almost like you're giving them everything, but then it's like, what am I getting out of it? And, you know, it's, we take care of other people before we take care of ourselves. And that's definitely something
you got to shift that. And I talk about this a lot now, and it took me a lot of therapy because I went through, and it's funny because this is what I had another podcast a couple weeks ago, and we talked about this where I shared that I went through EMDR, which is trauma therapy, right? And that was one of the things that we had to work through. And then I ended up writing a blog about people pleasers beware, because there's boundaries, healthy boundaries that we must create. And if you don't, I know this from, you know, personal experience. And the woman that was on a couple of weeks ago, she and I were talking about this, where it can literally become so detrimental that it can put you in a state of depression. And that's what happened with me. And it's happened a couple of times. And so now I'm to a point where I'm like, I will not allow myself to go there for anyone anymore, because I know where it can take me. And so that's why I always, you know, when I talk to people like you or younger, you know, younger generations, it's like, hey, if you can grasp this now and start practicing it now, and just remember that if people judge you because you're creating those healthy boundaries, then they're not your people.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So while it's okay to have those conversations, like I had one yesterday, the impromptu conversations come up all the time, right? And that's okay, but we have to be very careful. We have to ensure that we are still taking care of ourselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely something that, like, you know, I've been working on more. And it's, you know, that's why most people, especially when you're looking at bodybuilding, most people are either a gut case or a mental case.
Right.
Because you could be talking to somebody, they could be bloated. And I've had this happen where I was talking to somebody and, you know, we were going to be working together, but of course they decided to go a different route and go more like the medical route. They're going to pay thousands of dollars and get the same protocol that I was going to essentially help them with. But
people have to go on their own journey. That's what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. You live and you learn. Yeah. You live and you learn. Yeah. You live and you learn. But it's like, I would talk to that person and then 45 minutes just talking through, you know, life and figuring out what their triggers were, and the bloat would go away.
Interesting.
Right. Huh? So it's, and that's what people don't understand is like, you're, and you know this, but the gut is literally the second brain. It has the second most amount of neurons within the body, right? Aside from the brain. So if your gut's not healthy, a lot of times your mind ain't healthy, which is going to cause issues with your gut. And it's just a feedback loop from hell.
It is.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people. And like when I wrote my book, I started it with mindset, right? Because even what you said with the military stuff, right? I was angry at the Air Force for a little while. I was angry at how that all went down. But what I had to do was start to process through that and heal through it and understand that literally everything that happened that I thought is negative at that time has led me to where I am now. And so now I have to be like, you know what? I thank that person for what happened. I thank that person for letting me go through this, because now I'm operating where I'm meant to be. right? Where that wouldn't have happened had it not been for those people that kind of didn't support me or whatever that looked like, right?
Yeah. I'm a strong believer in, like, you know, everything's meant to happen for a reason. And you know, I'm glad I would, cause I would have gotten out in 2020, with my 6 years being up, but you know, I'm kind of glad that everything, of course, yes, I do have to deal with the epilepsy and the risk of having a seizure every single day, but you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at if I would have still been in the military. I was going to college and I wanted to be an officer and do all these different things. But it's like, where would I be had I stuck through that? You know, and I realized, you know, that was something that I wanted to do and I'm grateful for it. I learned a lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, it's either you're going to like it or you're not. Some people, they love it and they're, you know, career long. But like for me, I was like, the second I got to my unit, hated it, hated everybody, had a few friends, but just, I hated it. I didn't like it. And of course, who likes getting yelled at? But, you know, hey, at least I could say I've got to shoot a 50 caliber, throw two live hand grenades, and shot a bunch of different guns. That was good physical health. But it's like you get out of that situation, and then like if you don't take care of it or you don't have the right mindset towards what you want to do, everything just starts going downhill. And, you know, we just talked about people caring too much about what others thought. And, you know, that's a rabbit hole going down, internal, external validation, you know, and like a lot of us still struggle with external validation and trying to please people pleasers, you know, and that shows a lack of internal validation. So it's like this constant battle. And that's something like I'm going through.
Yeah.
Right. Because I always had this thought process of like, okay, well, I got bullied and, you know, I want to be successful and I want to show everybody wrong. I want to show up to my high school reunion and just have people's jaw drop and everything like that. But then that's external validation. It's like, oh, I'm going to show everybody wrong, but who gives a fuck?
And that's the thing. And I've had to learn that too, because that was me too, where it was like, and honestly, it's funny because not really funny, but I tell people now, like when I was in my best shape through bodybuilding, I was mentally falling apart. And that's the part people didn't see. And I didn't even see it because I was so used to faking it, right? Like I was so used to, you know, you're young, you're going through all that stuff. You compartmentalize, you learn how to suppress, you get told to shut up, don't talk about what's going on at home, right? Like, and then you go into the military, what do you get told? Shut up in color. You get yelled at. You get right, like, and the only time you ever feel important is when you do something right and you get rewarded, right? So that's external validation. And so we literally, our society teaches us external validation. When you're in school, you don't get rewarded unless you get A's and B's. Maybe you go in the military, you go into college, whatever. Well, you're only called successful if you make a lot of money. That's external validation. That is not true. But our society teaches us all those things. And so then we turn it around on the mental health thing. And it's like, no wonder like 100% of us are somehow screwed up. Right? Like,
I mean, I would say everybody has some sort of residual trauma, definitely. But some just have it worse than others.
And
right?
And that's the thing. And I will say, I think a lot of like, cause I didn't start facing mine until I was into my 40s. Right. So I think a lot of times some of us just, we learn how to suppress so well that we just keep doing it until everything starts crashing down. So I always say when it's someone that's younger, that's kind of going through that journey at that age, like, thank God, because I don't want you to have to wait until you get older. And if you're able to start facing these things now, and not just you, but anybody out there, right? Like if we as people are able to start facing things earlier on and becoming more self-aware. And that's what I tell people now, like I'm no better than anyone else at this point in my life. I promise you that. I struggle with my own things, but what I have done is become a little bit more self-aware. That's the only shift. So now when I start spiraling, I can say, all right, I can do that self-talk.
Like, yeah. Right, yeah. Tony. Because it's the ability to, you know, and my coach legit told me, he's like, you lack self-worth. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. Literally got off the phone with him, thought about it for like an hour, had a mental breakdown and stuff like that. Cause it's like, I never had somebody tell me that. right? But it's like that, and that's a good coach. That's somebody like challenging you mentally, because you have to deal with whatever is going on inside here to fully recognize, okay, this is a toxicity. These are the obstacles that you're dealing with that you haven't dealt with, mm-hmm. right? And I just had this conversation the other day with somebody, but it's like, how can you expect to give somebody advice on certain things when you yourself have not come to terms with that?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
There's actually a Bible verse where it says you can't take the plank out of your brother's eye until you take the plank out of your own eye, right? Like I can't point the finger, and I write that in my book too, where it's like, I can't point the finger at you and tell you what all you're doing wrong if I'm not even willing to turn the mirror around and say, oh wait, I gotta fix some things too, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is important, and definitely that says a lot about your coach for him to be authentic enough to be able to say, hey, this is something you need to work on. And then also for you to be accepting of that. And I always tell people, you know, because people think that coach is like a temporary thing. And I always say, if you find somebody that you click with, it should be an ongoing relationship. And, and if you're so worried about, you know, paying them or whatever, like you're not paying that person to, you know, be in your life. You're literally paying them because you value them, right? So it's a totally different thing. And honestly, I tell people, I'm like, I'm not here due to Jody's own thing. Like, I have great people around me who pushed me and continue to push me. And I don't like to hear it all the time. I will promise you that.
I've made people cry. I've made people lose 40, 50 pounds because of something I said. Quit
drinking.
But
you know what though? You didn't make them do anything. They made that choice.
Yeah. Well, I talked some sense into them.
That's yes.
Yeah. I told them what they needed to hear. Yeah. I have this phrase I always tell people, you can't give advice unless you listen. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would listen, I would talk through things, but it's like a lot of people hate hearing the truth.
They do. Yeah. People and I did too, for a little while, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's hard.
And you get people who legit are, oh, well, you know, you don't deserve, or he doesn't deserve, you know, the classic breakup situations. Oh, blah, 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 blah. No, it's like, why don't you actually listen to what's going on? You know, because I'm not going to lie, I've talked people out of very toxic and manipulative relationships, even marriages, right? I mean, me and my wife have our differences, but we don't fight. And I flat out told her that before we got married. I'm like, if we have an issue, we are locking the door and we are sitting in this room till we figure it out. It does not go between, like, it stays between you and me.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. Now, is there some instances where, you know, you got to talk with your girls or, you know, whatever, you know? Yeah, that's understandable. But if it's something serious, and like, we have our differences, a lot of it's political, but that's besides the fact. But like, we don't fight. Like, we have strong disagreements, but I will never yell at my wife.
That's good.
I won't.
That's good. But I mean, and you guys are new into it too. And so I just hope that you guys are able to continue that for the long haul.
Because,
you know, and I will say, for somebody that's been married almost, I think we're almost at 18 now, like, it gets harder as you go.
Yeah.
But what you said is really important, like being able to talk those things out, and being able to kind of just come together and say, okay, where it's that whole self-awareness thing though. It just goes right back to that, where it's like, okay, what are we actually disagreeing about?
Yep. And the one thing I always challenge people with, especially in like relationship situations, but it's really any situation that you're just dealing with and you're trying to figure out, well, is it really worth it? And yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But the biggest one is, especially with relationships, it's looking at, can you see yourself in the same situation for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
No, there's your answer.
Yes.
You can keep trying to work on it. That's fine. Yeah. And sometimes I've had situations where people are like, yeah, you know, we worked it out, everything. I'm like, awesome. But that doesn't always happen. It's like, if you know that stuff is messed up and you don't deserve that, you don't act on it out of fear.
Right.
Right. Unless you actually have somebody who tells you, hey, do you want to be in this position for the next 5 years?
Right.
Like, oh, I work for corporate America. Okay. I hate it though. I'm like, okay, could you see yourself working here for the next 5 years and you're miserable?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and that's looking at passion too. Like if you're passionate about somebody in a relationship, you'll work through stuff.
Right.
But if the passion's not there, especially even with just life, career choices, stuff like that, it's like running into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to get through it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I just shared it on my story, actually. This one guy I had talked to, he was a speaker, and he's like, you know, I want to move to this. And he didn't even let him stop. He's like, move.
Yeah.
And
that hurts people. It's like, it's that analysis paralysis, right? Or it's like you overanalyze so much that you never do it. And I mean, I've done it. So don't judge people, because I've definitely done, there's a reason why I'm just now getting started in some of the things that I'm doing. But you know, it's that analysis paralysis of like, well, what if this messes up? Well, guess what? Your whole entire life is made of taking risks. If you really look at your life, you've probably taken a whole lot of them already. So what's the difference in taking another one?
Yep.
What do you really have to lose?
And then couple that with having anxiety too.
and I have anxiety too, but that's the thing. And that's why, you know, it's important. And I know we kind of got to wrap this up, but it's important. I love the fact that you're doing what you're doing, but you're also bringing your life experience in, because what happens is we're not just here to teach people how to work out and eat right. Right. We want you to be able to lean on us. We want to be that person that you can trust, that you can form a relationship with, right? And you're going to be that person, and you are that person for so many people already.
Yeah.
But just at the end of the day, make sure you're taking care of yourself. And that way you're able to continue to be that person for as long as possible, because I definitely want to see you keep thriving and see you at all the shows and your energy is infectious. So definitely keep bringing it in wherever you go.
I appreciate it. However, before we do jump off, I want to put a disclaimer out there for people who, if you see somebody having a seizure or anything like that, because there's a big misconception that, oh, you need to like put your fingers in their mouth or put something in their mouth or do this, do that. Don't.
Yeah.
Put them on their side and hold them there, but let them seize, because essentially what happens is if you try to stick your fingers inside their mouth to keep them from swallowing their tongue, you won't have fingers.
Won't have fingers. Yes.
Because especially take somebody who's 250, like the amount of bite force and the amount of like tension that I have going through my body versus somebody who's like 170 pounds, it's going to be a lot greater.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we can physically bite appendages off, you know, fingers off. So you try to hold somebody's jaw that's has so much tension and just clenching, you're going to lose fingers.
Yeah.
But you know, if it's like after 5 minutes, normally that's where irreparable brain damage occurs.
Yeah.
Right. So you always want to time it. You know, if they have incontinence, i.e. they poop themselves, you know, pee themselves, if they puke, if they bite their tongue, let it happen. Cause I've bit my tongue before, I've puked, everything. Right. Thankfully, I haven't had the other two.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you're holding that person in that position so they don't further injure themselves, hit their limbs on stuff or anything like that. So I just want to throw that out there because it's a big misconception.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you sharing that. I used to teach boot camp classes when I was in Japan, and I actually had someone seize after a class. And so I was grateful for the medical background I did have, because I was able to do that. But what you shared is very important, and I'm glad that you shared that, because a lot of people don't know. And once you don't know, you don't know. Right. So thank you for sharing that. And Jacob, keep telling your story. I hope I hear your story everywhere. I'm going to try to make sure I get to be a little part of that, push it out as many places as possible. But thank you for, you know, just being vulnerable and being able to share that. Definitely. I want you to tell everybody how to get in touch with you. They want to reach out to you for coaching or just, you know, for anything.
Yeah. Okay. So as you guys, I don't know if they'll be able to see like my name But that's basically my Instagram. It's so at the_real_posing_sensei.
Yeah, I'll make sure I type it out for everybody, so you don't worry.
Yeah, that.
And you will be getting tagged on Instagram too, so.
And then, of course, like my email is just prodigypreposing@gmail. Because I do, of course, contest prep, lifestyle, custom training, and then, of course, posing, hence the name. Yes. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Jacob, like I said, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for, you know, taking the time out and coming on here and, you know, sharing that portion of everything else. I feel like we probably could have gone a whole nother hour with some of the conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And that's funny. Yeah. It usually happens, but but definitely, like I said, keep doing what you're doing. Keep being that hope for other people and keep inspiring everybody, because I know you are inspiring a lot of people. I can see it from the people around you and just in the couple of times that I've seen you. So, and you've inspired me.
Thank you.
So keep doing it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Again, you guys, this has been another episode of Breaking Barriers Now. Thank you so much for tuning in. Definitely link up with Jacob. He is an awesome person and just somebody that you want to be able to, you know, come in contact with. So hopefully you'll get that chance at some point. But thanks again for tuning in. Please share the show. Subscribe to the Jody Watkins Inspires YouTube channel. Remember, it's Breaking Barriers Now. Don't forget the now that is on every single podcast platform. So make sure that you go in there, subscribe, follow, share it with everybody you know. All right. So take care and God bless.